Great gospel meeting. I'm thankful to God, and I'm thankful also to the elders, to the deacons, to the ministers, and the members of this very fine congregation. We've had a beautiful song service. Brother Spicer did an excellent job with those songs. I would just love to carry them back to the congregation and help him to lead the singing in that congregation as well. But we are at Northside Church of Christ. I've been with the congregation at Jackson Street Church of Christ in North Nashville for a number of years. We have a new minister, a young man by the name of Brother Christopher Jackson, and he is doing a very fine job. So I just stepped into another work where we can find some new opportunities to address the Lord's vineyard and to address his work. And I'm thankful to God that he gave us that opportunity. I'm also thankful to God for blessing us to expand our ministry and to go even beyond the walls of the Church of Christ at Jackson Street as we learn more and more about doing the will of God. Brother Hudgens did a very fine job with the prayer, and I'm thankful that he blessed each and every one of us by going to God on our behalf and asking God to take good care of us and to help us, because we really need help in times like these. We are experiencing COVID, and we are experiencing other trials and tribulations. And God's been so good to us to keep us yet within the land of the living and all to be as well with us as it is. I know Brother Balcom is doing a fine job in preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ at the congregation. Fairview is a very, very fine congregation, well known. You stand for what is right in the sight of God. You continue to uphold the banner of truth. You're well known in this area and even beyond. And we thank God for such a fine congregation. I know in being a minister myself is not easy. And especially in times like these, it's not easy to see things transitioning from what used to be to what is now. To those who may be streaming, we are very glad that you have chosen to live stream with us during this gospel meeting. And I want to encourage you, as Brother Cordell encouraged me. He called me on behalf of the elders, and he continued to help me to understand what my duties and responsibilities were from this day through Wednesday. And I appreciate the hospitality that has been extended and the love that's been extended. Many of you have traveled to other gospel meetings that I have held, and I appreciate you doing so. And I appreciate you encouraging this congregation to ask me to come and to ask my wife, Ethel. Ethel, just raise your hand. I was about to tell her to stand, but she said, she's very shy. And I'm happy that she continues to travel the roads with me. Yesterday, we had a wedding up near Sparta, Tennessee. And we've been counseling with the couple for approximately 2 months, maybe a little bit more. And the travel was very treacherous. The road was an incline that many cars were not able to make. And I didn't know whether we were going to make it. And when I started up that road, they said, "Do not take your foot off the gas." And I didn't take my foot off the gas. I kept it on there. And my wife was saying, "Oh, stop, stop." But we made it up, and with her slight encouragement, we were able to get to that wedding and perform it. And we thank God for that. But that's the kind of encouragement and the love that I have, that she'll follow me and help me and be my critic and also be in my encouragement. So I thank God for her. This morning, I've been asked to render a message from God's word. And the scripture that was read into your hearing was from 1 Peter chapter 5 and the verses are 6 through 9. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 9. And I'd like to choose for a subject, the predator and the prey. The predator and the prey. As we think about a predator, we think about one who is after us. in some kind of way to perhaps devour us or to disable us. And I want to encourage you to be enabled this morning by being obedient to God through baptism, restoration, prayer requests, or placing membership right here at Fairview Church of Christ. I want to discourage you from leaving here without being on the Lord's side. You can obey the gospel and be on the Lord's side. Remain obedient, stay in the straight and narrow way, and heaven will be your home. As we look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 9, Brother Hudgens did a very fine job in reading this. I'm just going to highlight a few of the verses so that we can think about the subject, the predator and the prey. The prey is each and every one of us. The devil, the predator, is after every one of us. Make no mistake about it. Don't think that because I've been in the church for years, don't think because I have been on the Lord's side and I've been in his vineyard and I've worked real hard, the devil's not after me. The devil's after somebody else. No, the devil is after you. The devil is after me. The devil is after every one of us, and he knows our weaknesses. He knows how he can devour us. He knows that we are his prey. He knows that we are the food that he wants to feed on. He knows that we are to be devoured if we're not obedient and continue to walk in the straight and narrow way and make heaven our home. He knows that we can be his because he's after every one of us. Somebody says, well, I'm strong. I know that there's an alcoholic, and I know that alcoholic just drinks and drinks and drinks, and I don't understand why that alcoholic drinks, but I don't have that sin. I'm not a part of alcoholism. Well, that's good, and the devil knows that. My father was alcoholic before becoming a member of the Lord's church, and alcohol doesn't bother me. In fact, I told our young people at the congregation, the only way I'm going to die intoxicated is that somebody grabs me, chokes me, and puts alcohol down my throat and then kills me. And then the autopsy is going to come out that I was filled with alcohol. I'm not going to voluntarily drink. So the devil doesn't tempt me with alcohol. But there are other problems that I have, and the devil tempts me with those kinds of problems because he knows that he can get me as the predator because I'm the prey when it comes to those weaknesses. And somebody says, well, I've been in the church 50 years. I've been in the church 60 years. And the devil just can't get me. Yes, he can, because he knows what your problem is. I don't have any sin. Your problem is lying. Amen. He knows that. He knows that. Or you might be one out there on the sea fishing with three or four others. And you might be in the boat, and those other people might be saying something like, we need to kind of talk about what our problems are, our sins are. And we're out here and we're meditating as we fish and we're just having a good time. So let's just talk about our problems. And one says, well, you know, I'm very lustful. I just can't get over lust, and my eyes are like this and like that. And I see someone and I know I'm married, but I'm just having that problem. And then another one says, well, you know what? I just have sticky fingers, and every time I see something that sparkles, is beautiful, I just have to pick it up just a little bit. I have to hold on to it. I steal it. And then someone else says, well, I have a problem, and my problem, I just lie. I just lie all the time. And then someone says, as the three were talking, the fourth person, you haven't said anything. You haven't said anything. What's your problem? And then as they come back to shore, that individual says, well, my problem is with gossiping, and I can't wait to get back and tell everybody what y'all's problems are. We all have problems. And the devil knows that we have these problems. So the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 6, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. King James Version. Humble yourself. Before anyone can help us, we have to learn how to humble ourselves. We have to learn how to be meek. We have to learn how to be receptive. We have to learn how to sometimes be on our knees asking God to help us. Somebody has said, well, you know what? When you rear children, before rearing them to be a certain age, you have them as a little child. And you put that little child on your knee and you just rock that little child on your knee all the time. And you just love on that little child as you rock that little child on your knee. But then as that little child grows and grows and becomes a lot older, you end up on your knees asking God to help you with that child. Children have their own minds, and the devil is definitely a predator who's after our youth. The devil wants to devour our youth. The devil wants to erode a foundation that's coming later on in the church. The devil knows that if I can attack the youth and if I can deal with the youth and devour the youth, the church won't be anything in the future. The older members who are faithful and loving and obedient to God will be dying out, and the young people will destroy the church if I can get them. And that's the way the devil is going about, seeking whom he may devour. And the Bible says, humble yourself before the Lord. In due time, he'll exalt us. He'll lift us up. He'll help us. He'll know how to deal with us because we have prayerfully gone to him and we have humbly said, I just don't know what I need to do. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. I remember that when I started working with the schools, I was conducting a faculty meeting. I was the principal of that school. And as I was conducting that faculty meeting, I saw an older man sitting in the seat right outside within the assembly hall. And that individual had his paper up looking at it. He put the paper down from time to time and he'd look up at me and then he'd open his paper again. And I said to myself, I know I can't help him. He's been working for years. He knows everything and he doesn't like me. You know, sometimes you get on a job and you think that somebody who just doesn't embrace you, they don't like you. Well, that's one beautiful thing about this congregation. Everyone I came in and saw and met with COVID going around, I'm saying hello and they're saying, hey, and they're embracing me. Thank God for you. I love that. But as I watched and as I continued to talk, we dismissed. And that man came up to me. He was listening. He was flexible. He was able to do more than one thing at a time. And he said to me, you know what? You know what, son? I like you. I said, well, isn't that wonderful? I was trying to like you, but I didn't say that to her. But I really didn't think, I gather from your body language that you cared anything about me. He said, come here. I said, yes, sir. He said, I want to take you in this little room right here. Spank me, hit me, what's he going to do? And he took me in the room and he moved some furniture and he said, now these are the cutoff valves to the water, to the sprinkler system in the school. And this right here is the electrical device that operates this and operates that. And one day you might need to know where these devices are, but they are hidden by the furniture. So you have to move this to know where this is. Sure enough, a few months later, some child did something to the sprinkler system. We had just put in a brand new gym floor. It was beautiful. And the water started coming throughout the school from the sprinkler system all over the floor. And if it wasn't cleaned up immediately, if the water sprinkler system was not cut off, we were going to have a floor that was going to buckle and we were going to be in some serious trouble. And I remembered, it's behind the furniture in that little room. And I ran and cut off the valve, and the fireman came and cleaned up everything. And I was so thankful to God. If I had not humbled myself, if I had not been kind and loving, if I had not been receptive of that older man's knowledge of that school building and knowledge of a whole bunch of other things that I found out he was knowledgeable of, don't you know that I would have been operating in a building that would have cost thousands of dollars to make a repair to something that all I needed to do was cut off a valve. All I needed to do was find that valve. If we learn how to be humble in our approach to one another, the devil can't devour us like he wants to devour us. And the Bible says, be humble to God. Know that we need God. And in due time, he'll exalt us. I was promoted in due time because of humbling myself before others who knew more than I knew. The Bible says in verse number 7 of 1 Peter 5, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The Lord God Almighty cares for us and cares about us. The Bible says he's not willing that any should perish. He wants everybody to be saved. We go back in history and look at a man named Hitler who persecuted, who killed thousands and thousands of Jews. And you wonder, why does God want that man saved? Because God knows what hell is like. And God knows that it's utter darkness. It's a fire that never goes out. The Bible lets me know that there's weeping and gnashing of teeth in hell. Hell is not a pretty place. And the Bible says the Lord is not willing that any should perish. But the devil wants every one of us to perish. The devil wants to devour every one of us. He's the predator. We're the prey. He's the one that feeds on every one of us and feeds on our weaknesses. The Bible says, now get your mind together. Be sober. Be vigilant. Get your eyes focused and watchful. Because the one that's after you, the predator, your adversary, the one that's against you, the devil, is going about as a roaring lion. A lion that says, this is my territory. He roars loudly. He lets us know, this is where I am. And anybody that comes around where I am, I'm going to devour you. He walketh about seeking whom he can eat up. Seeking whom he can devour, seeking whom he can take to hell with him. And the Bible says, whom resists, verse 9, steadfast, strongly resist him. The Bible says, with faith, Hebrews 11 and 6, faith, without faith, it's impossible to please him. But he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The Bible says, resist in faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. He's not only after those in the world, He's after those of us in the church. When you decide, and I'm not going to pick on everybody over here, but I'm going to say that those of you who are sitting over here to my right are sitting here because you like this area, you're comfortable with this area, and that's wonderful. And others of you who are sitting in various areas, the same way with you. You like that area, you're comfortable, you can see the minister, you can hear the minister, you can definitely hear me, amen. But you're comfortable where you are. But if you're over here because you don't like somebody over here, and you're over here because you don't like somebody over there, and you're neutral because you don't know who you don't like, well, I'm just telling you that that's because of the devil. He gets in the church members just like he gets the people in the world. And he makes us not like things. There are people who have left Jackson Street Church of Christ for all kinds of reasons. One young man left basically because we were spending so much money on air conditioners. And we had to have all of those big air conditioners up on top of the building. And he said, oh my goodness, y'all are spending all that money on those air conditioners. And I remember too, all you did was come to church and you raised up the window and you got fresh air. And everybody wants to have a big old transformer up here and one over there. And you want this and you want that. We don't have to spend money for that. I remember when the flies were coming and they would be in my mouth while I'm trying to preach. And then somebody wants to get upset because we make it comfortable. And you don't need any cushions on the seat. Why, women, when I was on the seat, that's why you got hemorrhoids, because they didn't have cushions on the seats. Amen. And then somebody takes a cloth off the communion table. And you start hollering and just go crazy. Oh, there wasn't nothing sacred about the cloth on the communion table. It was on there because you didn't have the air conditioners up on the roof and you had the windows up and the flies were getting in the minister's mouth and getting into the communion before you could take the communion. They were taking it, amen? So that was in the congregation, it was a sacred cloth. Oh, take it off because we have air conditioning now. No flies are about. We don't need that cloth. We can just simply have the communion cups and everything right here. Now, because of COVID, we have disposable communion cups. And somebody probably, I remember. And people are leaving for all kinds of reasons. The devil gets into Christians just like he gets into sinners. And he wants all of us to turn into sinners so that he can fill hell with our souls. Bible says in verse number 10 of 1 Peter 5, but the God of all grace who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, who the Bible says, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So be it. He's saying that through Jesus Christ, predestined before the world was even created, my God, with his mental capacity that's beyond every one of us, could look out over nothing and realize that he had to have salvation to those of us who were not created. And he said, I'm going to make Jesus the Savior of the world. And the Bible lets me know that Jesus, the Lion of Judah, the Lion of Judah, the triumphant Lamb over Satan and evil, he had to have Jesus as our conquering Savior, as our conquering Lamb. the lion by which he became the symbol of courage by defeating Satan. The Bible says Jesus was predestined to take away the sins of the world. Because God, John 3:16, so loved us that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus. He shed his blood on Calvary so that we could be reunited to God Almighty. Sin has separated us. Look at Revelation chapter 12 and the verses of 7 through 12. And we find out that the devil was once in heaven. He was a beautiful angel. But he was an angel that looked at God and he wanted to conquer God. He wanted to take over. He was a jealous angel. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 7, there was war in heaven. Michael, and that's my middle name. Thank God I was up there fighting the devil. I don't think that was me though. Anyway. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels. The devil is the dragon. You have the angels, Michael and his mighty angels. And you have the devil and his angels. But look at what happened. The Bible says that the devil's angels prevailed not. Revelation 12 and verse 8. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. When you start acting up, many times nobody wants to be around you and there's no place for you. You're just put out of where you are because you're raising so much commotion. A good word there would be you're raising, and you know what that word is, because that's where the devil went. The Bible says, and the goat, the dragon, was cast out, that great dragon, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the world, the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So the Bible says the devil is on earth. And the devil is seeking to devour us. Well, Brother Crowder, how do you know that? John, who was banished to the Isle of Patmos for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, in his vision, was able to see that the devil and his angels prevailed not because the conquering lamb, Jesus Christ, the lamb, the lion of Judah, was able to cast out with Michael and his angels that dragon. So the Bible tells me that now the devil is here on earth and he's doing all kinds of things. If you were to look within the Bible, you would see that it says, first of all, he's a murderer. He's a liar. He speaks a lie without any backing, without any validity. The Bible says his native language is that of being a liar. He's the father and the creator of lies. If we were to look in Genesis chapter 3 and the verses of 1 through 5, we will find that Eve is in the garden. And God says, now I'm going to put a garden in the tree in the midst of the garden, and I'm going to put you and Adam in this garden, and y'all going to live forever, and everything's going to be fine. But don't touch that one tree, because the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. The devil comes along as a servant. The devil says, well, now, let me tell you something. You can eat of that tree. God basically doesn't want you to eat of it because he knows that you'll have his knowledge if you eat of it. So go ahead and eat of it. And Eve partook of the forbidden fruit, and And the Bible doesn't say what fruit that was. The devil says it was an apple, but the Bible doesn't say what fruit it was. I don't know why he chose an apple. I love apples. But anyway, the devil, the Bible says, told Eve, you're not going to die. And Eve partook. The devil is a liar. He wants to devour us. He's a predator running around looking that he might be able to swallow us up. And he lies. The things that Brother Bunkum has given us, the preaching, the ministry, and everything that he's trying to say, the elders and the deacons and the members of the church, they're all liars. Everybody's a liar. The preacher is lying. He's the father of lies. She partook. Not only did she die immediately, she died spiritually and eventually physically. God never prepared for anybody to die. But because of sin, death entered into the world. He's the father of lies. His whole message is nothing but lies. He hides the gospel. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and the verses of 1 through 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. The Bible says, therefore, seeing we have the ministry, this ministry, as we have received mercy, we don't stop, we don't faint, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, nor walking in craftiness we don't do. The Bible says, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, is hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world, the Bible says, have blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine through. For we are not preaching ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the gospel of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The Bible is saying that the gospel is the light. The gospel is able to bring us out of darkness into an understanding of Jesus Christ and salvation through Jesus. The devil hides in darkness so that the light cannot be triumphant. If you look at the Bible, you will notice that it says that the devil transforms himself into an angel of light. The devil is trying his very best to help us to not understand the truth of God's word by looking like he's the gospel. Let me give you an example. Some of you listen to the ministers that are online. I do. I listen every now and then. When I used to hear Billy Graham, I would listen to Billy Graham, and he could come through Acts chapter 2 and just go right on through that word. And I'm telling you the truth, he could really bring the message out until he got to Acts 2, 37 and 38, where the Bible preached about baptism. And he wouldn't preach on baptism. I remember that a number of ministers would call him up and help him to understand that baptism is in that Bible. Some 3,000 were buried with him in baptism for the remission of sin. But he wouldn't belabor that point. Go to the church of your choice. Do what they tell you to do. How can you go to Acts chapter 2 and overlook some 3,000 who were buried with Christ in baptism after the Romans and the Jews realized that they had killed Jesus Christ and cried out, What must we do to be saved? Repent and be baptized. Every one of you for the remission of sins. And Acts 2:47, the Lord will add us to his church. His church, Matthew 16:13-19. The Bible says, I'm going to add you to my church after baptism. How can you preach that and overlook some 3,000 souls being buried with Christ in baptism? Joel Osteen. Joel starts off with a joke. He gets us all interested. He'll go through all. He's letting us feel good about ourselves and pumped up and everything else. And then at the end of the message, he'll say to you, now, if you would, just pray this prayer with me. And we start praying that prayer with him. And he'll say, now, I believe that if you prayed that prayer, you're born again. Really? Nicodemus said, they said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And Nicodemus said, do I enter again into my mother's womb? Said, no, it's baptism, being buried with Christ in baptism for the remission of sin. Joel Osteen will say, find yourself a good church, get in there, and do what you need to do to work for the Lord. Well, how do you get in there? By praying this prayer with me. And after you pray this prayer, I believe you've been born again. Hallelujah. Well, if you go to the Bible, to be born again is to be buried with Christ in baptism for the remission of sins. I don't care who's preaching to you. The devil has transformed himself into an angel of light and has diverted the gospel, has caused the gospel to be skewed where it is no longer truth but error. If you look at Charles Taze Russell, nobody wants to go to hell. Charles Taze Russell, who formed the Jehovah's Witness, who started that, said, nobody wants to go to hell. You got Michael Crowder standing up there. You got Brother Balcom standing up there. And all these people are preaching. And they're talking about hell. And they're talking about people going to hell. And blah, 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 blah. And I just want you to understand, there is no hell. And Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe that there's a burning hell. And they don't preach a burning hell. And there are people who feel so good about themselves. And Jehovah's Witnesses say, I want you to feel good about yourself. I want you to understand how wonderful it is to be saved. There is no burning hell. And there are a bunch of people in the Jehovah's Witnesses who don't believe that there's a burning hell. Bible talks all through it about hell and who's going there. And it's a burning hell. It's a hell that's non-quenchable with fire. Those that are evil, the devil and his angels will be there in that burning place. Because the predator is after all of us to end up there with him. Charles Taze Russell says 144,000 are going to heaven. Revelation chapter 7. I don't worry about that. 12,000 from each tribe. Each tribe, the 12 tribes, that means that they're all Jews. I'm not a Jew, so I can't go to heaven. Only 144,000 Jews are going to heaven. Revelation 14 says that they're all virgin men. So, doesn't look like any women going to heaven either. And those of us who are married, doesn't look like we're going to heaven either. And if you keep believing all of that mess, you end up losing your soul in hell's fire. But there are people who believe, good speakers, who stand and don't even read out of the Bible. A number of people have said to me, Brother Crowder, you're constantly reading the scriptures. You're constantly doing that. I heard one young man apologize for reading the scripture. He said, I want you to turn to such and such a chapter and such a verse and started reading down those verses and said, now, I apologize for this. I know y'all know how to read and y'all don't need me to read these verses for you. Yes, you do. We all do. We need to read the Bible. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God. Workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. How do we get away from reading the word? By listening, to individuals who have better names than I do. I have never been hailed as the minister for the president of the United States of America. All these years I've been living, almost 70. November the 27th, I'll be 70 years old. And there hadn't been one president that's invited me all the years I've been preaching to preach for him. And maybe one day her. I'm just simply telling you that I haven't been a popular preacher like that, world renowned. And I'll never be if I keep on preaching what's in the Bible. You won't be the preacher that everybody can hear that doesn't make you disrobe and get baptized. And you don't even have to disrobe. You can be baptized in the suit I have on right now, in the dress that you have on right now. The Lord just wants us to be buried with him in baptism for the remission of sin. And when there are people who are causing the gospel to be disputed in any way they want to have it disputed and become extremely popular and folk crowd to them and listen to them, they are not reading and studying the word of God. The predator is after them. And we're the prey. He's going about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. How wonderful it is to hear a popular preacher tell you there is no burning hell. Read and study the Bible. Understand the Bible. Live by the word of God. You got to hear it. Romans 10:17. You got to believe it. Hebrews 11:6. You got to repent of your sins, change your mind. Acts chapter 2, the Bible says, repent, be baptized. Luke 13:3 and verse 5. The Bible, Acts 17:30, there was a time when God winked at our ignorance, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent, change your mind to that which is right. Confess him, Matthew 10:32 on earth. And verse 33 says, if you don't confess him on earth, I will not confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. Then be buried with him in baptism for the remission of sins. Acts chapter 2, Romans 6. Come to Jesus this morning. He'll add you to his church. Acts 2:47. Heaven can be our home. He'll add you, Matthew 16:13-19. To his church. That's why I'm in the church of Christ. It's after him. We follow the word of God, singing without instrumental music. Ephesians 5:19, Colossians 3:16, Hebrews 13:15-16, communion every first day of the week, Acts 20:7, just like the apostles, just like the disciples did. We give as we've prospered, 2 Corinthians 9, 1 Corinthians, we continue to give, we continue to stand for what is right and preach the truth, Acts 2. We continue to pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:16-17. We continue to do these things as we find in the Bible. Come to Jesus, obey him this morning, and rise and make heaven your home when this rite is all over. Romans 6:4, rising and walking in the newness of life. Come now, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation. May God bless you.
I pray that God can that all make this.